Hello there, folks. It's Cliff again with a quick roundup of the sport. And apologies from John, who's sent me a brief report, which I'll read out first of all, on the local football. But I'll add to that a bit later as well. So John's saying, "Hi, Cliff, I'm sorry I can't be with you, but I hope this fills a gap until next time." So he's looking forward to talking with you again soon. He said that we start with Stoke, whose performances have not been very good so far. They were at home to Blackburn Rovers, winning 1-0, with the new man, A.L. Hamady, scoring in the 19th minute. This set the ground alight with the fans singing again, which doesn't happen very often these days. Stoke had some lucky escapes in the game when Blackburn missed an open goal, with the ball clipping the post to be cleared away, and Stoke played with fire in their bellies and seemed to be the better side. However, Stoke's next game, Wilmot decided he was going to play rugby and give a penalty away to the annoyance of the fans, and up came M. Ivanovic to take the penalty kick in the 94th minute with Millwall winning 1-0. And this leaves Stoke perilously close, fifth from the bottom now. So we hope that things can only look to improve. They are in a dogfight at the moment. John then says we move now to Port Vale, whose performances again leaves much to be desired. They made a draw 1-1 at Fleetwood, but then lost 2-1 to Colchester, and then having a great game beating Wimbledon at home by 3-0, which now leaves Vale sixth in the table. And as far as Crewe are concerned, they unfortunately lost 4-1 at home to Fleetwood, and then drew 1-1 at Salford City, with another 1-1 draw at home to Doncaster. And this leaves Crewe eighth in the table. And as John says, that's all from me now, but look forward to speaking to you again in the future. So just to embellish a little bit on that, the Stoke match, the manager was in the Sentinel saying very much it was never a penalty and it should never have happened and he should have had a goalless draw. But I think, to be fair, most neutral people would think that wrestling a bloke with both arms around his waist and wrestling to the ground is not really what you're supposed to do in a penalty area. So I think it probably was a fair decision from what I've seen on television. However, it does leave Stoke in a perilous position, so we keep our fingers crossed for them with the last few matches. I think there's only eight left now. On to the Vale and the Sentinel. Well, follow that one. Valiant hammered dismal Dons to bolster big bid. And of course, that was a 3-0 win at home, as John has said. They brushed aside MK Dons to record an excellent first win by a 3-goal margin at home this season. Goals from Tollage, Stockley and the returning Ben Garrity, and the latter coming in at the last minute of stoppage time when a lot of home fans had already departed. But there were more than enough to see off the visitors. And the Dons may have tried to play pretty football, but they went nowhere with it, and it managed just one shot on target. And Moore rang the changes once more following the 2-1 defeat at Colchester and changed the team quite a bit. But good news for Vale, as John has said, and hopefully that will help them get into the playoffs, if not the automatic promotion places. And as John said, leaves the Vale are sixth in the table now on 61 points from 36 games, and Crewe are eighth with 57 points from 37. So we could hopefully still see both local teams in the playoffs at the end of the season. And just as an aside on the Premier League, Liverpool are again walking away with the title this time. Sorry, apologies for that. They got 70 points from 29 games, and Arsenal are in second place, but they're 12 points behind now on 58. Nottingham Forest and Midland team doing really, really well. They're actually third at the moment, and there's a chance of some more European football if they can keep that going, which they haven't seen at Nottingham since the Brian Clough days of old. So let's keep fingers crossed there. And in football again, the first trophy of the season was played for and on the weekend. And the headline in the Sentinel is a Newcastle called a Toon, that's T-O-O-N, which is the name for people up that part of the world. Newcastle called a Toon to end their silverware drought. Dan Byrne and Alexander Isak ended 70 years of hurt as they fired Newcastle to Carabao Cup final victory over Liverpool at Wembley. Local boy Byrne headed the Magpies into the lead on the stroke of half-time, and Isak's 23rd goal of the season, 7 minutes after the restart, secured a first domestic trophy since the 1955 FA Cup, despite Chelsea's late strike. They actually won 2-1 in the end. And they say that Newcastle, whose last piece of silverware was the 1969 Intercities Fairs Cup, which is long gone now, were good value for their 2-1 win at Wembley on an afternoon when 10-time winners Liverpool looked wearied by the physical and emotional impact of their midweek Champions League exit at the hands of Paris Saint-Germain. Eddie Howe's men took full advantage in front of an 88,000 crowd as he became the first English manager to win a domestic trophy since Harry Redknapp in 2008. That's just something I refer to. I had a bit of an argument with somebody the other day about him, who was quite sadly a racist soul and a big football fan. I said, well, how can you be racist? There's hardly an English manager left in the Premiership. There's hardly many English players left in there. We sign people from all over the world. But he didn't seem to understand quite what I was getting at, but there we go. Motor racing, the Formula One season, that really seems to come around very quickly, and it's come around again. It started this weekend, and Lando Norris has admitted for the first time that he believes he's the favourite to land his maiden world championship following a statement victory at the rain-hit Australian Grand Prix. And the headline of that in the Sentinel is that we are the team to beat, Norris' joy at exercising demons in Melbourne. The British McLaren driver, 25, emerged from a wild, wacky and thrilling season-opening race in Melbourne to lay down a title marker to his rivals. Red Bull's Max Verstappen finished second and George Russell third for Mercedes, one place ahead of rookie teammate Kimi Antonelli, with Lewis Hamilton starting eighth and ending only 10th, following an underwhelming debut for his new team, of course, that he now races for Ferrari instead of Mercedes. And rugby union, I know we've got one or two rugby union fans. The Six Nations competition this year was very interesting. The eventual winners were France, with England second, Ireland third, Scotland fourth, Italy fifth, and Wales on the wooden spoon, who've now gone, I think, they didn't win one match, and I think they've got something like 14 or 15 consecutive matches that the Welsh National Rugby Union team have lost, and are in dire straits, certainly, compared to the quality of many of the other teams, because France and Ireland were expected to be the main victors there, but England did well. They won two matches, I think, in the last few seconds. They won two matches very close, so there's good exciting stuff anyway. Again, the news I heard on the radio this morning, that's Wednesday the 19th, is it today, I think, that the rugby union championship for the rugby union is only going to remain with 10 clubs again, because a couple of the clubs who've won promotion in the lower leagues haven't got the right criteria for the ground capacity to be able to be allowed to play in the championship. So it's not very good, really, because it means there's no competition, there's nothing to fight for apart from the victories if there's no promotion and no relegation. But again, that's a problem British Rugby Union will have to sort out. And on the women's side, women's sport is getting more and more important and more exposure on the television and on highlights programmes and live matches and so on. And in the women's cricket, England all-rounder Nat Skipper Brunt was named Player of the Tournament as she won the Women's Premier League with Mumbai Indians for the second time. This is the biggest championship that there is in women's cricket. It compares to India's one for the men as well, but they're the best paid and the biggest competitions, and they select the teams, they buy the teams, and it's like the players are up for auction, basically, and they play for a different team every year, probably. But she's managed to win that competition. She has a pedigree because she's won player of the match in the inaugural final in 2023. And after a disappointing Ashes series for England, she showed her enduring class and she hit 523 runs in 10 innings, which was 151 more than her nearest rival. And in addition to that, she took 12 wickets from her bowling. And that included 3 for 30 in the 8-run win over Delhi Capitals in the final and the key scalps of Meg Lanning and Marie-Jeanne Kapp. She said, "It's been a great year for me in the Women's Premier League. I'm so happy to be standing here as a winner, and I will ride the highs as long as I can." And just finally on the Women's Rugby Union, which again is gaining a lot of traction as an interesting spectator sport for men and women concerned, Gloucester Hartbury came from behind against Saracens to secure their third straight Premier Women's Rugby title. Saracens playing at home led 19-5 early on, but Gloucester put 29 unanswered points past their opponents for a 34-19 win. And Mo Hunt scored one of their six tries to give coach Sean Lynch the perfect send-off as he leaves to coach the Wales women team in future. So that's about it, folks, for this week. Sorry it's a bit brief, but we'll hopefully get a stronger roundup for you next time. But as I've said to you all before, please, please do get in touch if there are any sports that you particularly want us to cover. It's very difficult for John and I. We don't know, if we don't get the feedback, we don't know what you like, what you don't like. So we can't, we're just actually working, you know, trying to do what we think is what you might need. So just let us know if you wouldn't mind, just a call to Tim or a call or an email. Let us know what's happening and we'll do our best to look after that for you. And in the meantime, stay safe, look after each other, and hopefully we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.